Live broadcasting from the historic Ebenezer Missionary Baptist Church, you all, and we have a fantastic show for you today. A couple things, man. Today's topic of conversation is going to be great. It's Missional Monday. As always, on Missional Monday, we talk about things dealing with outreach and evangelism. So today we're going to talk about eight ways Satan attacks the church. That's the topic of conversation for today. But in a moment or two, in about maybe 5 minutes, we're also going to remember one of the members of the TTLO family, family friend and everything. We will be remembering her on today. So that's going to be what we do on today. So if you have not been going hearing everything, let me give you a rundown on how you can be a part of today's show. If you're already listening on the line, you can push 1. That'll get you to my producer. She'll check you out, make sure you're good to go, and then you will be live on the air with me. If you're listening via Blog Talk Radio, simply dial area code 323-870-4375 is the call-in number. Again, 323-870-4375 is the call-in number. You can reach us that way. Looking forward to hearing from you all on call-ins today. If you want to reach us via email, you can do that as well. You can email the show at takingthelimitsoff@comcast.net. You can email the show at takingthelimitsoff@comcast.net. Looking forward to hearing from you all that way. Again, you can email the show takingthelimitsoff@comcast.net. Email the show at comcast.net. If you want to follow us on social media, you can do that as well. Follow us on social media. You can reach us on Twitter. You can tweet the show at TTLO Radio. Looking forward to hearing from you all that way. Again, you can tweet the show at TTLO Radio. If you want to follow us on Instagram, you can do the same thing on the gram. Follow us on Instagram at TTLO Radio. That's right, TTLO Radio, 2 T's, 1 L, 1 O. TTLO Radio, you can reach us there. If you want to follow us on Facebook, facebook.com/TTLO Radio. facebook.com/TTLO Radio is where you can find us there. facebook.com/TTLO Radio is where you can find us there. Also, remember, we are an iHeartRadio partner. That's right. If you have the iHeart app on your phone, or if you have access to iHeart in your car, all you have to do is do a simple search for Taking the Limits Off Media Group. That's right. Taking the Limits Off Media Group is now part of the iHeartRadio family. You can find us there on iHeart. Just do a simple search for Taking the Limits Off Media Group, and once you get that, just hit the add to your favorites, and then you'll get every show once it uploads to the iHeart system. That means you'll get the TTLO Radio show, you'll get the Grindology show every Thursday, and then you'll get the Angela Johnson One Sister to Another show, and any new shows that are brought to our family, you'll get them there. If that's not good enough for you, you can find us on Spotify, you can find us on iTunes, you can find us on any digital download medium. You can do any and all of those things. Amen. On the other side of the glass tonight, I believe I have my producer, LaTanya Melton, is on the other side of the glass handling the business. I don't know if Jalen is on there or not, but I know she is one of them. I believe it's her. Is on the other side of the glass. So that's where we are on today. All right. Let me do this. Let's do this. So I'm not going to take a lot of a lot of time. I want to do this, and I purposely did not try to make a big thing out of this. I didn't want to try to. The family has enough going on that I didn't want to involve them. We will do that though at a later time. We will give her a if they want to. I will invite her. I know her husband. I know Enid's husband's not coming, but I'll definitely invite Mia and Brian and Micah, whoever, and Christina and whoever else wants to come. They would be more than welcome to come and be a part of the show on a day they would want to come and honor their family member, sister, mother, and all of those things. But today, before we get into the minutia of the radio show, I wanted to take a few minutes I want to take a few minutes to do this on today. For those of you who don't know, last week Monday, I left the studio roughly at 7:56 or 57. I ended the show 7:56 or 7:57. I received a text message. I received a text message from. I'm trying to remember, was it? I received a text message. My producer let me know what was going on, and our friend of the show, part of our TTLO family, Sharissa, was already in the hospital, and they had given her 12 to 24 hours to live. And so I left here in the way Dana likes to leave. Everybody knows I already drive fast. So I left here and made my way over to Rush Hospital to be with the family because, you know, the doctors had said what they said. So we were there roughly, you know, till about almost 2 a.m. It didn't look good. But then Tuesday, we got the news that it started to look better. And then Wednesday, she was up and walking and doing all those things, my understanding. And then all of a sudden, I get the message on Sunday that she passed away. I want to say this. Thank you so much for all of your prayers, TTLO family. Thank you all so much for your prayers. Your prayers, your kind words, your inbox messages to me, your messages that you posted on the site, everybody who reached out in whichever way you reached out, just want to say thank you so much for your kind words. I have known Sharissa was a part of the TTLO media family, but that was a short thing. I've known Sharissa since the day she was born. I've known her since the day she was born. Her mom and my mom were very good friends. Which is how we were all connected as part of the church. So I've known her entire life. And because of that, you know, when you've known somebody that long, you automatically grow to some sense of connection. You automatically grow to some sense of connection when you've known somebody for that long. So because of that, I felt the connection to her. She was. She was like a sister. She was. She fought. She battled an illness. If you're all familiar with lupus, she battled an illness that's unlike any other. And she fought it with dignity and with a strength that I just don't think most people had. Every time we saw or heard that she was in the hospital, it was always, y'all, they locked me up again. Somebody come break me out of the hospital. I would always tell her when she was in the hospital, let me know, I'll come break you out. So we had that kind of relationship, friendship. And again, it's a friendship that spans her lifetime. I came to become acquainted with her husband. We became good friends, and her children. It's It's a sad time, but I tried to. I had my moment there. I'm sure everybody had. If you have not had your moment, everybody will have their moment. But one of the things that I have noticed is I have to thank God first just for being God. And as I said to my church family, I want to say this real quick too to my church family here at Ebenezer. Thank y'all so much for Sunday morning. I came in and I didn't know I was going to have to pray that morning. And we have a leadership circle prayer when we come in. And I didn't know that they were going to ask me to pray. And I literally took my time getting to church because I wanted, literally, I'm just be honest with you, I wanted to avoid the prayer. I'm just going to be honest with y'all. I wanted to avoid the prayer because I just was not, I didn't want to, you know, I didn't know if I was going to be asked to pray, but I just was not in the mood. And I'm just, you know, hey, some people won't be honest with you. I'm going to be honest with you. I just didn't feel like praying. I walked in the door roughly after the time we would have prayed. I kind of got put on the spot to pray. And when I walked in, so it was not my expectation to have to do so. But again, I did as I was asked, and it was difficult. And I informed them because some of them knew the situation because they followed the show, so they knew the situation. And I informed them of her passing, and all of a sudden that prayer circle just changed into something else. And our entire worship service on yesterday changed into something else. And I just want to say thank you again, and a special thank you to Pastor Daryl Person. I prayed, y'all, and broke down a little bit, but I came. I tried to retreat to my studio, which is inside the church. I prayed and I ducked off real quick and tried to come in and close the door, but I didn't lock the door. I should have locked the door. But he came in right behind me and checked on me and made sure I was good. It was a little rough, but I'm just so appreciative of them for yesterday. But I want to say this about this young lady. I want to say this about this young lady, Sharisa Gregory. I wrote this, and some of y'all didn't saw it on my page earlier. I've known her for her entire life, she has battled this thing for a long time, and she, you know, for lack of better words, I'm not going to say she suffered in silence, but she did suffer, constantly going back and forth to the hospital, organ issues and all of these things, but yet she continued to be a trooper. And when I tell you that, I tell you that in all sincerity, she continued to be a trooper. In everything that she did. And she was on the praise and worship team. Sharisa was in the, when I was in the young adult choir, we go way back. When I was in the young adult choir at Kingdom, meaning when I was 16, 17, and 18, Sharisa was in, when I was 14, 15, 16, rather, Sharisa was in the junior choir with the kids, the youth choir. They called it the junior choir. She was in the junior choir. So there's always been that. And then as we got older, we at some point we formed a praise team at Kingdom. I don't remember the exact date. If anybody is on that can tell me. I want to say it was 2001, 2002 maybe, we formed a praise team at Kingdom Missionary Baptist Church. And she was always, I was a tenor, because what they told me. I was a tenor. And she's always been a soprano. And she always stood to my left. She was on my left, and Danielle was always on my right. My niece Danielle, she was always on my right. And every Sunday, when I couldn't get my note, the two of them would balance me out enough so that I could always catch, you know, stay on my note. And it was one of those things. And I knew she was. When she started to get more ill and more sick. Okay. When she started to get more ill and more sick, she would, you know, disappear for a couple of weeks. But every time she got a little bit of energy, she always came back and she was standing to my left. I mean, it was like never fail. She was always there. And for those of you who don't know, y'all know I've suffered with headaches my entire, you know, since I was 15 or 16 years old. And I never really complained about them. But knowing what she was going through, and she still was able to worship, you know, she stood up there anyway, sometimes in pain, sometimes out of breath, but she still got up there and sung and worshiped and praised God in spite of everything that was going on with her. That inspired me. That inspired me because there were days I didn't want to sing. There were days I didn't want to be there, you know, and if anybody who's ever sang praise and worship before, you know, sometimes you can have some people in your church that's looking at you crazy you know, they make you not want to be up there, but we would sing anyway. We would sing anyway. And I said, you know what? We're looking around, and I've said this a million times. I've said this in sermons at my former church, Kingdom Baptist Church, and I've said this here, even at Ebenezer, my home church now. I said, you know, we go around looking for big miracles, and we want God to part Red Seas, and we want God to feed the, you know, 5,000 with two fish and five loaves, and we want a cloud to come down, a pillar of fire, and we want to see people walking on water. We want these types of things, and it came to me. I don't know when the reality hit me was that every Sunday I was standing next to a miracle. Every Sunday, God allowed me to stand next to a miracle. Every Sunday. You don't recognize those things right away. But I came to appreciate that. And every time she was in the hospital, I would always try to send her a message of saying, hey, all right, you know, when is the jailbreak? Like, when they letting you out, So it's just great to see. I thank God, you know, the doctor said one thing. I thank God that, you know, they said she was going to leave here Monday, but she didn't leave here until Sunday morning, that God gave her some extended time. And I believe God gave her that extended time for a reason. I believe God allowed her to stay here so that everybody would have a chance to come and sit and talk and whatever, whether it be just clear the table of some things. So I thank God for her life. I thank God for her life and the energy that she poured out into people. I just thank God for her and everything that she was able to accomplish. Even in her struggles, she had to do dialysis. And she ended up working for a home dialysis company, and she traveled the road. The company had like an RV, and they would fly her to all these places so she could do demonstrations of this home dialysis machine. And I know how painful it was, and people had to travel with her because somebody had to carry the machine, and they had to do all of these different things. But she continued to work. She was still employed. She was still working. And I say all this to say, I know that there's a lot of things that aren't right in the world. I know there's a lot of things that don't actually go the way we expect them to go. But there's so much we have to be thankful for, and there's so much we have to be grateful for, and life is just too damn short. Life is too damn short for us to be just sitting around and walking around mad and angry and having issues and heartbroken over stupid stuff. It's too short. It's too short. It really is. People are leaving here every day, moment by moment. And people mad and don't even know why. Angry and don't even know why. Holding grudges and don't even know why. Or whatever you were holding the grudge for, it don't even matter. So I want to encourage Christina. I have half-sisters, but I want to encourage Christina. That was her big sister. That was her big sister. I want to encourage her because I know I'll never know what that's like. I'll never know what that's like. But I want to just encourage her Micah, her sons, Micah and Brian, and her daughter, Ania. God bless y'all. God bless y'all. And it, you know, we just want to keep that family lifted up. Her parents, Pearlie and W.C. Rice. I can't sit here and say I know what you're going through, because I don't. I can't say that. But what I can say is that I trust God. Even when I don't want to, I trust God. And I want to make sure y'all do. God is sovereign, and He makes His decisions based on the time that He chooses to. So we're giving people in our lives for a season. Some seasons are a day. Some seasons are 30, 40 years. Some seasons are 42 years and some months. Some seasons are longer than that. But He gives us seasons. And I'm going to tell y'all this right now. Stop being petty. Stop being angry. Stop being stubborn. And recognize the season that you have with the people that are in your life. You're not going to like them every day. I'll say that again. You ain't going to like them every day. And dang on it, you might not want to talk to them every day. But recognize the seasons that you have with the people that are in your life. Because when the time comes, because watch this, every one of us has to take that same route. Every one of us has to go to that same destination. We're going to take different routes, but every one of us are going to go to that same destination. The question is, what are you going to do with the time that you have? What are you going to do with it? As far as us here at the Taking the Limits Off Radio family, we will honor Sharissa. She will always be a part of the TTLO family. I posted those pictures on purpose, the before and after, on the TTLO page and on my personal page earlier, of her. And if you look at the, if you look at the bottom picture that I posted of her, if you look at the bottom picture I posted of her, she was frowning up in the picture, and Latanya told her to smile because she was frowning up. So she gave this quick smile. And if you look at the picture, if you go to the page on the caption in the picture, literally said, "Is my smile big enough?" When we posted that picture. So I just want to honor her today. She at the end of the day, she was my sister. And you know, we gonna honor her as part of this family. And we just gonna continue to pray for her. We gonna continue to pray for her family, her extended Kingdom Baptist Church family. I know there's hurting going on there. I just want to remember that. You know, I posted this earlier, and I said this, and I wanted to make sure, earth truly has no sorrow that heaven cannot heal. So thank you. Thank you, Sharissa. Thank you for being you. Thank you for being raw, uncut. Thank you for being you. It has been a pleasure, and I'm better for knowing you. I'm glad I got the chance to sit with her for a little while on Monday, and whisper some things in her ear that y'all don't get to hear, but I'm glad I got to spend some time. And God is just awesome. He is just awesome. So you all tonight, when you get ready to go to lay down tonight, but when you're saying your prayers for your family, do me a favor, please say a prayer for the Rice Gregory family. Say a prayer for those children, Ania, Micah, and Brian. Say a prayer for her parents, Pearlie and W.C., and then all of their extended family and their church family. Just do that, y'all. Do that. Y'all do that, please. Do that for me. I would greatly appreciate. Oh, and Ashanti. I'm sorry. Oh, God. And Ashanti. Thank you. Thank you, Tanya. And Ashanti. So, yes, say a prayer for that family. Because they are yet holding on, but God is awesome, and she had a lot of people that loved her, man. Y'all would have been out there at that hospital Monday night, we took over the waiting room. I almost felt bad for the other families that was in there who also had people. But one of the things that we did do when we prayed for everybody, and I'm just thankful to them. And Enos, I know he's probably not watching this right now, but I've tried to stay in contact with him. Enos, whenever you're ready, and I know some of y'all are gonna take this a look some kind of way, y'all get over it. But whenever you're ready for a drink. The first two or three, or maybe even four, are on me. We're gonna get through this. This too shall pass. And God is still awesome. God does what God does. So that's it. I'm done with it. I said what I had to say. I did not contact them on purpose. I didn't want to make no big scene. I know they're making plans and doing all that stuff. So, but again, tonight, if you have some time, I know y'all are probably, a lot of you all don't even know them, but if you've been watching or following TTLO Radio for a while, you know who Sharissa is. She sat in this seat. She never made it to this studio. She never made it to this studio, but she sat in these chairs quite a few times at the old location when in that dark purple room y'all could see in the old pictures. That room, that's the same room on those two pictures I posted. That's the same room. We just remodeled it when we got a chance to remodel it, so it's the same room. But just God bless them, and you can rest now. You can rest now. No more machines, no more pain, no more nothing, and go ahead and rest. So that's it, y'all. I'm done. I'm going to take a break so I can get myself together. Your boy tried. I almost made it through that. But I'm gonna take a quick break and get myself together, and we'll be right back, y'all. I'm gonna play a little bit of this right here for them. And Facebook, I know y'all better not act up talking about music rights. Yeah, get over. I'm gonna play a little bit. Come on, John P. T. Sing this song. It's me. Ha! Yes, sir.
It's me, oh Lord, I'm standing in the need. Oh Lord, and I need a prayer. Oh, it is me.
We are back to Real Talk Radio. We're remembering part of our family, Sharissa, right there. I want to do this. I know that people listening and watching that actually knew Sharissa. If you want to call into the show and spend a few minutes, you want to have a comment, a memory, a funny story, y'all know Sharissa is crazy, too. I almost was going to play some DeVar. Her favorite singer in the whole wide world was El DeVar. That's a whole other story. I almost played it. I almost did. I literally was in here trying to download it before the show started, but I said I'm not going to do it. Oh, God, I'm not going to do it. If you have a memory and you want to share it, the call-in number is 323-870-4375. Is the call-in number. If you don't want to talk, because I know you're making a little emotional, if you're able to watch it on Facebook, you can put the comment out there. I'll read it for the listeners and all that. If you want to email us, if you want to email us because you don't want to talk, I get that too. You can email the show, takingthelimitsoff@comcast.net, takingthelimitsoff@comcast.net. You can do that as well. Just want to remember her today. And again, we'll probably do this again if the family wants to come in. I'm willing to do that. It's worth it to me. To do that, and I want to make sure we honor her. We honor her because she was a part of this family from almost from the beginning. almost from the beginning, she took an interest in what we were doing, and she supported this. She supported this platform that we had, and she was a part of it. She we originally called her our field correspondent because she was going to she would go to community events, and then she would call in and report what happened from the event live on the air while we were on the air. That was when our show was at 12 million. So again, if you have a memory or something for those who are listening or watching. Again, I'll give you a couple ways to do it. I'm going to go on with the rest of the show, but if you decide to send me something that you want me to read on the air, or if you want to call in, that call-in number is 323-870-4375. If you want to call in to the show and tell us about a memory you have with Sharisa, we would love to hear it. And my listeners who pray for her, who don't even know her, I'm sure they would love to hear the funny stories too. So, or whatever you may have, if you want to say it, you can call in. 323-870-4375 is the call in number. Just call in and push one. And yeah, absolutely. Thank you. Just call in and push one, and that'll get you to my producer, and she will get you over to me, and you can be live on the air with us. So go ahead and do that again. 323-870-4375 is the call in number. I love it. I love it. So I thought this song, Standing in the Need of Prayer, would be appropriate. I was going to play Devon. I really was. She was an L. You couldn't tell her nothing about L. DeBarge. I don't know why she liked L. DeBarge, but she loved her some L. DeBarge. So, y'all. yeah, but everybody has a Sharisa story, I'm sure. But if you, again, you want to call in, the call-in number is 323-870-4375. 323-870-4375 is the call-in number. Just call in and push 1. LaTanya will let you through to me immediately. Just let her know you have a Sharisa story. That way we know it's legit. And she'll let you through. She'll let you through. So, I feel like doing something different right now. I really do. I feel like going in a different direction, but I'm going to do what I'm supposed to do. In the meantime, I want to wish real quick Pastor Harold Washington. Pastor Harold Washington, my brother from another mother. Pastor Harold Washington's birthday is today. I believe he turned a big 43. On today. So God bless you, my brother. I thought I might see you today. I thought you might sneak in, but I think he might be out of town or something for his birthday. But God bless Pastor Harold Washington, man. He's had a difficult year himself. Just losing his wife. So, it seems like people are leaving here every day. And I'll say this again. I want to make sure I say it, and I'm going to say it. Life is too short for folks to be walking around holding grudges and being mad and all of that. I want to make sure I say that very, very clear. It's too short. And God has been too good. Right, and I'm gonna say this to some folk that know I'm talking to them. God has been too good, and you have been blessed way too much and too long to be walking around mad and angry. Don't let somebody else you love and care for leave here without making sure you know what I'm saying. I'm grateful for that, and I know, watch this. Family members can get on your nerves, y'all know I know. Family members can get on your nerves, but at the end of the day, they are who they are. They are who God made them to be. God made them to be one way, and they became who they became. But at the end of the day, they're still family. And you have to love them regardless. You might not like everything they do and like everything they say, but you have to love them regardless. An old pastor of mine told me you got to love them regardless, because if you don't, you're going to bust the gates of hell wide open. So God bless y'all, man. Thank y'all so much for honoring, helping me honor my friend Sharisa Gregory on today. And again, continue to pray for the family. If you missed my tribute to Sharisa, it was at the very beginning of the show. So when the show is over, you can go back and rewind. and see it. I felt compelled to do that. I didn't want to wait and do it after everything was done and everything. So I just felt the need to do that on today. So Yeah, God is awesome, man. God is awesome. I want to make sure that I keep my brother. I can't call him my brother. He can't be my brother. I want to make sure I keep my friend, and he is my friend, W.C. Rice, lifted up in prayer. Like I told y'all before, I've known W.C. in prayer longer than I knew Sharifa, because I knew them before she was born. So, but I want to just keep that family lifted up in prayer. You don't know what it's like, you know. Parents are not supposed to bury their children. That's just not the way. That's not the way nature is set up. Again, God is sovereign, and we have to honor God for His decision. But we thank God for the time we had. And I want to commend, and I'm going to move on for real this time. I'm going to commend it, but I want to commend W.C. because he said some powerful things. When we were all looking down on Monday, when we got the bad news, when we were all looking down on Monday, W.C. continued to lift everybody up. And he said some words, and he just kept saying he was thankful. He just kept saying he was thankful. And you know, for him to be in that situation, I don't know if I could have had that strength. I don't know if I could have had that. So again, it's always amazing to me. In the last 2 years, I have had to deal with some people close to me leaving, right? In the last 2 years, and it's amazing that the people who you think would be the most hurt are the ones who actually end up lifting you up. So I commend him for his strength. He is the pillar of that Rice family. And God bless you, sir. And when you're ready, W.C. when you're ready, Deacon W.C. Rice, we gonna have to go have us he I'm gonna say it like this. He did W.C. don't say Dos Equis. Y'all know I like Dos Equis. W.C. say Dos Equis. So when you're ready, W.C., you let me know, and we're going to go have us some Dos Equis, and we're gonna have a good time. So we're gonna get through this, and then we're going to sit back, man, and I promise to get you home at a decent hour with your glasses on straight, right? I promise to get you home at a decent hour with your glasses on straight. That's my promise. I promise you that. So, all right, so I'm gonna move on. I'm about to get started again, and I didn't cry enough on here. Y'all know I don't like showing y'all all that, but it's all good. It's all good. Yeah, God is faithful, man, and God is awesome. So again, we want to remember Sharifa Gregory. Y'all want to do that. So again, if you want to call in, if you have a Sharifa story, you want to call in and share that, please go ahead and do that. You can call in 323-870-4375, 323-870-4375 is the call number. Or you can just email me, and I'll read your email if you don't want to call in and say it for yourself. I'll read your email or whatever you want to do, man. So just let me know. Otherwise, I'm going to go ahead on with the show, right? I got to go on with the show. I'm going to go on with the show because you know why? Because Sharifa would be like, do what you're supposed to do. she would be like, you need to go do what you need to do. So she was still in charge until the end. So, she was still in charge until the end. She was bossing nurses around and bossing folks around from her hospital bed. So I'm grateful for her and for her life. So I'm going to do what she would say do right now, and she would be like, go on up there and do what you're supposed to do. If you're supposed to sing, preach, and if you're supposed to talk behind the microphone and do this radio show, then you go ahead and do that. So that's what I'm going to do. Huh? That's what I'm going to do. All right. So, man, I said what I said about life being short and life being too short for us to be going through all this. Did you all see all of the craziness that happened over the weekend? Did we see that? Did we see that? Did we see all of the craziness over the weekend? We had people leaving here, and folk. I mean, here's the deal: we go to sleep every day thinking that the folk we go to, whether it's the folks we sleeping next to, or it's the folk we or the folk we know, we go to bed believing and thinking that they are going to be that we will get to see them tomorrow. These folks went to Walmart trying to get back to school supplies and all this other kind of stuff, going to Walmart thinking that they were going to go to Walmart and get them their babies, their school supplies and everything. And because of the world that we live in and the climate that's being created by leadership, some crazed idiot, some crazed idiot goes into this place and shoots up a place, killing, just, I mean, it's senseless. And then while we're having a mass shooting in El Paso and in Dayton, Ohio, Chicago just loses its mind again on another weekend, and we have a mass shooting here. I mean, what is this? What is this? I mean, what it is, and folks is being stubborn, and I don't talk politics. Y'all gonna vote for who you gonna vote for. I never tell anybody who to vote for. I just tell people to use common sense and all of that. Let me tell y'all something. And I want to applaud my buddy Apostle David Rogers for saying this earlier. He said this about our cell phones. You know your cell phone. Anybody who has a cell phone, I don't care what you do. I don't care. You can cut your GPS off on your phone, and guess what? They can still find you. They can still track you if they really want to. There is a chip inside this phone that you cannot disable. Right? There's a chip that you cannot disable in this phone. I don't care. There's nothing you can do. The only thing you can do to disable it is to destroy it. Right? That's it. That's all you can do. You're telling me you can track cell phones, and there's millions, billions of these things. You can't track guns? I said this to Toni Preckwinkle when she was here a week ago. I said to her, you're telling me that we cannot put some sort of tracking on every handgun when it leaves the manufacturer to when it makes it to the store, and from the time it leaves the store to the person that buys it, whether it be the store or a gun show or whatever, and we can track those guns. Because I promise you, just like, if somebody comes and steals my car, or uses my car in the commission of a crime, and somebody happens to catch the license plate, or the car is destroyed, and they find the car on the side of the road that was used in the crime, they are going to track the VIN number in the car. And the VIN number is in multiple places on the car. It ain't just on the little underneath your window. It's on the engine. It's on the door. It's not just on the sticker. It's engraved in multiple places. They are going to find the VIN number. And with that VIN number, they're going to go back and find the last title owner and ask them, who had your car? You telling me we can't do that with guns? You telling me that the National Rifle Association, which I used to be a proud member of, you telling me that the National Rifle Association is so hell-bent on protecting the Second Amendment rights of the people of this country that they will fight people having to register every gun? At this point, there should be no ambiguity, no confusion, no disillusion. No delusion, rather, that we should not be able to track each and every handgun from this day going forward. This man used an AK-47. I'm going to help you. There is no need for an average civilian. There is no need for any civilian to own an AK-47. He had an AK-47 with an extended magazine that held 100 bullets. 100 bullets. An AK-47 is not a semi-automatic. It is a automatic, meaning you squeeze the trigger and all of its bullets pour out until you let go of the trigger. Semi-automatic means I can pull the trigger multiple times like that. That's semi-automatic. But our current president lifted the ban that would stop crazy people from getting guns. People who have mental issues, There was a ban put on these people having guns, and Donald Trump removed the ban so that these people, even with their mental issues, can still buy guns. Y'all president did that. Even today, when he made his speech, he didn't even mention guns in his speech. He never even mentioned the word guns. What he did was he tried to blame everything else. He blamed it on it. Now watch this. I agreed with him. It is a mental health issue. I agree with Donald Trump. It is a mental health issue. But mental health is not and was not the only issue in this. These people should have never had access to those types of guns. Again, I say what I say as a responsible gun owner. I don't say this to tell the government to come take my handguns or your handguns. I say what I say as a responsible gun owner. I don't need an AK-47. I have multiple guns in my house, but I don't need an AK-47. I have been for years. Some of y'all are new to the concealed carry. I was grandfathered. For years I have been able to legally carry a handgun, but yet I have never desired to own an AK-47. That is a gun that is used for warfare. That is a gun that you are not defending your family with an AK-47. I don't care what they say. I don't care what lies they try to tell you. It don't matter to me. It is a lie from the pits of hell. If anybody tells you, I need this to defend my family, that is a lie from the pits of hell. They are a whole lie. So let me get the numbers right. Let me get these numbers right on this shooting. Because this is insane. Okay. The El Paso shooting, at least 22 people dead. 22 people at Walmart shopping for school supplies, babies, 22 people dead, and then two dozen more, 22 dead and 24 wounded. 24 and 22 is how much? 46? I can do math a little bit, right? 22 and 24 is 46. 46 people affected. Hurt or dead from a gunfire in Walmart. A 21-year-old white supremacist who said, watch this, he did it. Listen to the words he used. He did it. These were his words. He did it to stop a Hispanic invasion of Texas. Where have y'all heard that from? Invasion. Like it was an army. An invasion of Texas. Where have you heard it from? If you don't know, I'll tell you. That orange fool we got in office. I know every time I talk about it, we lose our signal. But he was the one using that language. Oh, it's an invasion. So the shooter used the exact same words. I was trying. He wanted to stop an Hispanic invasion. And then you want to come on and say your hearts and prayers. But yet every time you get on Twitter, every time he gets on Twitter, he's doing the very same thing. He's dividing the country. Because his own divisive racist rhetoric divides the country. He breathes this mess because he stands behind a podium with the seal of the United States of America and says things that no other president has ever said. He empowers these people who were otherwise cowards in a closet. He has empowered people that would otherwise be cowards in a closet.
But he has given them strength. He has given them ability. He has given them the resources. He has pretty much put battery cables in their back and charged them up to go out and commit these crimes. And then you follow it up with our prayers with the family. We don't need your prayers. We need you to do something. And I know I have a bunch of conservative friends. I love y'all for real. I got a bunch of Republican friends. I love y'all for real. But y'all are crazy as hell. Y'all are crazy as hell if you don't say something to your congressman about this mess. Your senators about this mess. Mitch McConnell, there is a bill that was passed in the House by Democrats and Republicans that was sent to the Senate for the president to sign to extend the background check process. And it has been sitting on his desk for months, and he will not even bring it to the floor. Why? Because he is an NRA. Can I say it like I feel it? Y'all got to just get mad at me. He is an NRA hoe. It's a bunch of them in Washington, D.C. I'm going to go ahead and say it because I don't care. He is he's a prostitute for the NRA. They're being paid and bought and sold by the NRA. Y'all can get mad all you want to. I don't care. I'm sorry. I'm just going to tell it. A whole hoe. Donald Trump was all ready to push this thing about banning assault weapons. He was on TV already to ban assault weapons. And he meets with the president of the NRA the next day. He meets with the president of the NRA the next day. And then he comes out and changes his mind. So whatever happened behind closed doors, you on TV today talking about, I want to put a ban on assault weapons. You have a meeting with the president of the National Rifle Association, and the next day you have no comment. No comment. That's called bought and sold. Coward. I said it. The Republican Party, the Republican leadership in the Senate, and our president of the United States is a whole damn coward. I said it, and guess what? Ain't nothing you can do about it. Cowards. To the highest level. Cowards. They can't do nothing. I remember Community Renewal Society and another group was taking a group down to Springfield to protest to protest the gun lobby. So we had one bus. They took one bus to Springfield, a bus of about, what are those Greyhound buses, the big buses you rent? What they hold, about 70, 80 people, right? Y'all help me out, I don't remember, because I ain't been on the bus in a long time. But they hold about, 80 people? Maybe 100, I don't know. But they took a busload down there, right? They took a busload down there. Watch this. They showed up with one busload to try to talk to them about changing the gun laws. You know what the NRA did? The NRA had 20 busloads of people that they bussed in, paid. Watch this. They paid them. This is how much money they had. They asked people, we will pay for you to go. We will put you on a hotel. We will put you up in a hotel. They said, we had one bus. They had 20. One bus trying to get gun laws changed. And 20 buses and 100 apiece. I think that's 2,000 people. 100 versus they 2,000. Who do you think they listen to in Springfield? See what I'm saying? This is what influence does. And until we say enough is enough, what ought to happen? And let me say this. I know what the Second Amendment says. I know what to say, but our forefathers did not intend on, first of all, handguns did not exist. Let me help somebody with a little edge. Let me help educate somebody. Handguns did not exist when the Constitution was written. And if there was a gun back then, it shot one bullet. One. Rifles shot one bullet. One. And it's the right to bear arms. The right to bear arms meaning we have the right to take up arms in case of we are invaded or we have to rise up against a fallen government. That's all it means. That's all it means. So for all of my Second Amendment people talking about the right to bear arms, our forefathers did not have intentions on people walking around with a device that carries 100 bullets. Because if that's the case, I mean, y'all know I'm a little crazy. If we can go and buy whatever gun we want, then how come I can't just go buy a rocket launcher? I don't hear nobody saying nothing. You know what? If I can go buy an AK-47 from the gun store right over here in Indiana, y'all know the one I'm talking about. Y'all know the one that everybody go to. They go to Indiana to buy the gun and then bring it back over here because you can go over to Chuck's. Is it Chuck's? Somebody help me out. Is it Chuck's Gun Store? Everybody goes to Chuck's Gun Store and buys their guns, and then they bring them back over to Illinois and sell them to Pookie Ray Ray and Lil Pistol Starter. They do all that over there. Don't tell me what we can't do. We can change the laws, but we have to demand that they be changed. And if they don't change them, vote they behind out. Questions, can't you buy guns at Walmart? You used to could. In rural areas, you could buy rifles, hunting rifles. You used to could buy hunting rifles at Walmart. Felicia, thank you for that question. You used to could buy hunting rifles at Walmart. But I believe certain Walmarts, if not all, took them off the shelves after Sandy Hook. I believe after Sandy Hook, they took them off the shelves. But again, you couldn't buy handguns. You could buy your hunting rifle and your hunting equipment. When you go hunting, you don't go hunting with, who hunts with an AK-47? Unless you're hunting people. Who hunts with an Uzi? You just came back from Louisiana. I don't know. I mean, I thought they took the handguns out. I know you can buy rifles. I didn't know you could buy handguns at Walmart. If you saw them, then hey, you know better than me. I know that you could buy rifles. They had a whole section. Dick's Sporting Goods used to sell rifles in the rural area. But the people, here's the issue. These people are not going to Walmart and buying these guns. They're going to gun shows. If you go to, I'm going to help y'all out. If you go to rural Illinois, make your way like you're going south, like you headed to Carbondale or Champaign. Or Mattoon, or any of those places. Just make your way out, and you'll see a pop-up tent, and it'll say gun show. If you just gotta do that, just Google local gun shows in my area, or local gun show coming near me, and you will find one in Illinois, and all it is a large tent that's set up in some random cornfield somewhere, and the guy shows up with crates and crates and crates of guns. Watch out. With crates and crates and crates of guns, you don't do, well, watch this. There is no background check. There is no waiting period. There is nothing. So literally, I could go to a gun show today and buy 20 guns, and nobody would know that I bought them. There'll be no record that Dana bought those 20 guns. Then I could turn around, bring those 20 guns back to my beloved Chicago, and then sell those 20 guns to whoever the highest bidder is on the street. And then that person can go out and kill any and everybody, and technically I should be the one locked up for providing the gun. But the law don't work that way. The law does not work that way. So El Paso, Texas. Then we get El Paso, then wait a minute. Right when you think, just when you think you can rest your eyes, we get Dayton. Now, watch this. This is how you know there's a problem with the guns. 9 people killed because the shooter fired 41 shots in 30 seconds.
them together. Come on. Let's do it. When I dance.
So much for your patience. We are back on the Blog Talk side as well. I believe we should be back. Tanya, let me know if we're back on the Blog Talk side. I know we got kicked off. For a hot minute. I knew something was gonna happen. You know, when you talk too bad about the government, they find a way to do something. I promise you, the only time we get kicked off is when we mention Trump. That's only time that we have technical difficulties is when we say something too long about the orange dude. When we go a little too long talking about the orange guy, that's when we have technical difficulties. So we're going to move on. Thank y'all so much, man. I see the hearts and stuff coming in. For Sharisa. Thank y'all so much, man. And y'all inboxing me on the side and everything. Thank y'all so much for even asking. Thank you, Felicia. Yeah, she was 40. She was 41. Bless the Lord. Anyway, look, this is what we're going to do. We're going to jump right into our conversation today. We're going to jump right into it. We're going to go ahead and get in this thing, man. And hopefully it's going to bless somebody on today. Today's topic of conversation is 8 ways Satan attacks the church. 8 ways Satan attacks the churches. 8 ways. 8, that's right. 8 of them. 8 of them. 8 of them. 8 is enough. Somebody say 8 is enough. Look at your neighbor and say 8 is enough. 8 ways Satan attacks the church. That's what we're going to be talking about today in a moment, if it's going to come up. Because if it don't come up, that means we're having technical difficulties over here on this other side. Maybe that's why stuff ain't working, because some stuff just decided it ain't going to want to work no more. Is that what it is? Let's see if it'll come up over here on this here side. Eight ways Satan attacks the church. Yep, it's working over here. So we gonna get it together. Tanya, check Facebook. Let me know if Facebook is still good for everybody, or if y'all looking, or if it's looking weird or something, because the video broadcasting computer is doing something crazy now. So I wouldn't be surprised if they done did something with that too. Guess what? You ain't gonna stop me. God will still get the glory on today, huh? He going to still get the glory on today. Okay, looking good on the book. There you go. Both pages. The watch party and the thing. All right. That's good for me. This is what the article says. 8 ways Satan attacks the church. 8 ways. The writer says, this is written by, who is this? Chuck Lawless. This was written July 26, 2019. The writer says this. He says, I have studied spiritual warfare for more than 25 years. And here are some of the primary ways Satan attacks the church. So here we go. Eight ways Satan attacks the church. Number one says, can we get that up over here? Yeah. Number one says this. Satan attacks through congregational division. Satan attacks through congregational division. This is what the writer says. The writer says, I've seen churches divided over budget decisions, paint colors, worship styles, Bible versions, community outreach, global missions, staffing choices, service times, choir robes, small group curriculum, and church vans. The enemy still knows this truth. Believers make little dent in the darkness when they shoot each other in the back. Can I just tell you this from a personal standpoint? That's 100% true. 100% true. Satan, this is how, I've been a part of three churches. And the one thing that they all have in common was that there are folk in the church who Satan can easily use to cause division in the church. I don't care if they're sitting in the pastor's seat or they're sitting on the back row in the back. It does not matter whether they are titled or not. Satan knows who he can use to cause division and attack his church. Watch this. I have seen arguments. I've been in business meetings where arguments came up about the church van. I have been in business meetings and church meetings where folks was mad about who was being added or taken away from the staff. I've been in business meetings where folks was angry about the way we were going. Watch this. I remember sitting in a meeting one time. We were getting ready to do an outreach, and we got attacked because we were about to do outreach differently than the unsuccessful way it was being done before. Y'all don't hear what I just said. We had planned on going out doing an outreach, and in the process of doing the outreach, we met with the committee that's supposed to actually do the outreach, who was having ill effect on anything, and we said we were going to go out and do it differently. We were going to go knock doors. We were going to walk a one-mile radius from the church. I'm telling y'all the truth, which is what God loves. And we went around and we went and talked to them because we were told we should try to include them in what we're going to do. Do you know that they said, well, what's wrong with what we do? Why y'all don't come out with us before y'all go out there trying to do what y'all doing? How come y'all don't come out and go with us? Well, y'all don't, and let's tell the truth. Y'all went to the corner. You walked to the corner. You spoke to the same people in the barbershop, the same people in Shine King, the same people in the liquor store. You were not going out. You were just going out for a walk and coming back. Y'all weren't invested. But they tried to stop us. This is what Satan does. We were literally attacked for the way we were going to do community outreach. How foolish is that? I'm telling you, this is the truth. This is the truth. Paint colors. Folks got into arguments about what color the bathrooms were going to be. Come on now. And then budget. You know money. You know money. When you bring up money in the church, you know, the folk who write a check think that they own the church. They think just because they write a big tithe check that they own the church. At the end of the day, it's still God's church. Let's go. Number two. Y'all know I could stay on this all day. I'm going to get out of here on time. Number two. Satan attacks, oh God, here we go. Satan attacks through family breakdown. Satan attacks through family breakdown. The writer says this. He says, we don't need to look far to find this problem in the church. Even the seemingly healthiest families don't always stand in the armor of God to fight off the enemy's arrows. I don't care who you are. But Satan can, the easiest way to get to you is to get you from the inside out. It's hard for an outsider to come and tear you up. But Satan will find that one family member that's crazy enough to listen to him and use that person to tear down you in the process and mess up the family. Satan can come into a church where there's a bunch of family disarray. I love churches that are family oriented, but I long for the day where churches are just a bunch of diverse people and everybody ain't got to be related.
Because when you have a bunch of families who were founders and organizers when the church was started, it's nothing wrong with wanting to take ownership. But it's a problem when you try to lure your ownership over people. When you try to put it over the top. When you try to take that and go to you try to use your seniority, your years in the church, to disparage or hold back somebody new. So Satan attacks through the family. Satan attacks through family breakdown. When the family breaks down in the church. Watch this. The church, watch this. That's not including blood family. When the church family breaks down, Satan comes in. I'm going to help somebody in a minute. Oh, God, this is blessing me. Is the air conditioner, can we turn the air conditioner up a little bit more? Ooh, Jesus. Thank you. There you go. All right. Number three. Satan attacks. Woo! Don't get a little touchy. Satan attacks through hidden sin. Satan attacks through hidden sins. The writer says this: the story is tragic, but true in one. Let me act like I can read. The story is tragic, but true in more than one situation. The church is not growing. They invite consultants to help them recognize their obstacles regarding infrastructure, programming, staffing, and facilities. Sometimes later, the truth comes out that a more significant obstacle had existed. Someone in church leadership had been living in sin for months. Can I help y'all? When the leadership of the church is living in sin, and see, y'all take living in sin as to mean something of the sexual nature. See, we automatically go there. But when the church leadership is living in sin, watch this, Satan can easily attack the church. Because that leader who's doing whatever he's doing is bringing him in. When you stand before God's people and lie to them, when you stand before God's people and mislead them, when you stand before God's people and they can no longer trust you. Oh, help me, Holy Ghost. Satan attacks through hidden sin in the church. That's why the Bible says confess your fault one to another. Because if you do that, Satan has no power. But see, Satan quietly blackmails our leaders. Oh, y'all don't hit me. Satan quietly blackmails our leaders because Satan will say, if they find out, you know they're going to tell you to sit down. If they find out, they're going to put you out. If they find out, you'll never be able to sing again. If they find out, you'll never be able to preach again. If they find out, you'll never be able to go back in the finance room. If they find out, Satan quietly blackmails you. Help me, Jesus. Hey, glory. I felt that thing. That's what he does. He attacks through hidden sin. That's why I always applaud. I always go back to David Letterman. I remember when David Letterman, y'all remember David Letterman used to have a talk show on CBS. He used to be on Channel 5, but then he moved to CBS. He had the Late Show with David Letterman. And David Letterman cheated. He had an extramarital affair on his wife. And the lady he had the affair with tried to blackmail him. She wanted, I think, somewhere between $6 or $10 million. And what did David Letterman do? David Letterman said, before I let you blackmail me, I'm going to come on national TV and tell what I did. He first went to his wife and told his wife what he did. And then he came on national TV on his own show and said, this is what I'm going to tell y'all. I cheated on my wife. I had an extramarital affair, and now it's coming back to bite me in the butt, and now she's trying to get me for $10 million. But guess what? I'm putting it all out on the news today, and now she's put this. And guess what? When you do that, the enemy has no power. Woo, Jesus. Huh? That's heavy. Oh, that's heavy. It's tight, but it's right, though. Oh, that's heavy. Oh, that's heavy. You right, Felicia. Felicia says, sin cost. Woo! My. Woo, Jesus. All right, let's go. Come on. Number four. We doing good. Uh-oh. Number four says, Satan attacks
through transfer, growth, diversion. Satan attacks through transfer, growth, diversion. The writer says this. Let me summarize this point. The enemy is seldom threatened when churches grow only by swapping sheep, oh God, with other churches down the street or across the city. Transfer growth often distracts believers from doing evangelism and thus plays into the enemy hands. Thus plays into the enemy's hands. Can I talk about this? We've talked about this on this show several times. Watch this. You ain't doing nothing in the kingdom when you're stealing folks from the church down the street. You used to be a member, and then all of a sudden you become the leader, and then they follow you to the other church. And you think because all of a sudden you've had a growth spurt of 15 to 20 people that you're bringing the lost to Christ. How many are you baptizing? You brought in 50. How many are you baptizing? Because folk just jump in churches. That is doing nothing to help the kingdom. Huh? The writer says this. He says, the enemy is seldom threatened when churches grow only by swapping sheep with other churches. You swapping sheep. Huh? You ain't growing. You ain't helping. That's just like when these pastors go from one to another. Hey, Doc, let me come preach for you. Doc. Hey, Doc, can I come preach for you? And your church write that preacher a $250 or $300 check, right, to the church, to the preacher. And then that preacher writes a check from the church to $300 for an offering. All the churches did was swap money, and the preachers made more money. Y'all help me with that. All the churches did was swap money. That's all they did. Come on, y'all. This is a TTLO radio show, y'all. Monday night, Missional Monday. We having a good time right now. I don't know who this is calling me, but y'all know it's Monday night, and I don't recognize the number. So whoever this is, keep calling me. It's Monday between 7:30 and 7 and 8 o'clock, 9 o'clock. Don't call my phone. I don't know who this is. Look here. Look. It ain't nobody. Must not be nobody I know. I'm going to say it like that. Don't call my phone. I'm just telling you the truth, what God loves. People ought to know. Look, y'all already know. Look, y'all already know. I don't know. My phone just sitting there ringing. And I'm like, I don't know. Amen. Amen. Anywho. Let's do this. Number five. Y'all ready? Number five says, Satan attacks through self-dependence. Satan attacks through self-dependence. This is what the writer says. Satan attacks through self-dependence. This is what the writer says. The writer says, some churches, I am convinced, would continue to exist for some time, even if God withdrew his presence. He says, that is, they operate in their own strength and ability. Oh God, but they do it well. Often they have enough size that they decline, that the decline is almost imperceptible. Though these churches may speak passionately about the power of God, they rely more on their own power. Let me make that real plain for y'all. Some folk, God has left their church a long time ago. And they are still realizing that they believe that the power of God is going through the church, and the church is strictly functioning on them. God has left their, look, ain't no Holy Ghost in the church. They just jumping and shouting because somebody playing the right chord. Huh? Come on now. Come on, Felicia. That's why she said it's a revolving door, no real harvest. Woo! My God. It's a revolving door, no real harvest. My. That's good. I love it. This is good. You cannot have a church that's dependent on the people in the church.
You cannot have a church that's solely dependent on people. If the church is not built on God, the song says, on Christ, the solid rock I stand, all other ground is sinking sand. That's what the song says. Huh? Those want to say, I dare not trust the sweetest frame, but wholly lean on Jesus. Hey, God, I felt that in my shando. Hey, my shot. Hey, God, I felt that thing. Come on now. Come on in here. Ooh, my. Glory. Okay, all right. All right, where we at? Number six, come on, we're doing it. Number six. Satan attacks through discipleship distraction. Satan attacks through discipleship distraction. This is what the writer says. The enemy delights in churches that have no strategic, effective discipleship strategy. Uh-oh. He says, after all, these churches have no plan to teach believers how to wear the full armor of God, Ephesians 6:11. They frequently leave new believers to fight their own battles. Come on now, to fight battles on their own. We select unprepared persons for leadership. Oh, can I read that again? Let me read it real slow. We select unprepared persons for leadership and then provide no training for the leaders. Oh, God. Because, watch this, and then because no one discipled them, their members often lose battles in spiritual war they did not know existed. Oh, that's going to help somebody. We're ill-equipping. Can I make that real simple for y'all? We are ill-equipping the saints. We are ill-equipping the saints. We are ill-equipping the saints. We're putting them in position to fail because we're putting them in position without the proper training and without the proper equipment. Putting them in training without the proper equipment. My God. How many times have we seen people that we knew were not qualified for positions? We weren't qualified for positions. And we see them put in positions, and then we see all hell break loose. Come on now. I've seen people make people chairman of deacon boards. I've seen people make people chairman of trustees, or make them a trustee, or make them president of choirs, or make them leaders of a praise group, or make them the minister of music with no real qualifications whatsoever. Educational qualification, let alone any anointing. Ah, God. How dare you put somebody over God's people with no anointing, with no oil? Oil dried up. Walking around. Look here. They walking around looking like Ashy Larry. My God. I said, wow. But I've seen it. And I've seen the disaster left behind. I've seen churches split because leaders leave poor positioned people in position of power, and then those people are ill-equipped and incompetent in the position, and the church almost closes. I've seen it happen. Thank you, Holy Ghost. This is good here, y'all. All right. Let's keep going. Number. This is good, y'all. This is good. I like this article. Number seven. Again, y'all, we're talking about eight ways Satan attacks churches. Number seven says, Satan attacks through hopelessness. Satan attacks through hopelessness. The writer says this: it's easy to get here. Church leaders give all they have to give, yet with few results. The church is dying but unwilling to change. Lay leaders protect their, oh God, lay leaders protect their turf. Staff members sometimes battle among themselves. Seemingly no lives are experiencing transformation. What's the point? The enemy asks, why not just give up? Satan shows up into a hopeless situation because he wants you to believe that there is no hope and that there's no way this thing is going to turn around. Woo, God. My. Do I need to read that again? Lay leaders protect their turf. Lay leaders. That's people with that. Lay leaders are those with perceived power. Just in case somebody needed some help. Lay leaders, those are people who have perceived power. They got a little piece of a title, and they think they're the assistant pastor. Huh? You give them a little piece of power. And they think, watch this, they think when they go to the bathroom, it smells like roses and sunshine. Huh? Help me now. Y'all don't hear me. Who God? Oh, my. Jesus. All right. Last one. My. Yeah, Felicia, perceived power. That's deep and dangerous. It sure is. Huh? It sure is. Deep and dangerous. It sure is. Can't be nothing but. Nothing but. All right, y'all. Last one. Number eight says, Satan attacks through false teaching. I'll read that again. Satan attacks through false teaching. That's what it says. The writer says this. He says, it's easy. He says, most of my work is with evangelical churches, and I don't often see blatant false teaching. He says, what I see is much more subtle than that. Small group leaders teaching unbiblical theology with no internal system in place to recognize or address that problem. No oversight or accountability about curriculum taught in small groups. Theologically suspect material in the literature rack. Problematic recommended reading in the church library. Uh-oh. Music lyrics that promote bad theology. Poor exegesis of biblical text. Oh my God. This here set it on. You got false teaching. And watch this. It's not blatant false teaching. It's real subtle. It's little bitty things. Small groups with no internal systems in place to recognize the problem. Meaning, you make me the president of a small group, but nobody comes behind me to check on what I'm teaching. Or even if you gave me the materials to teach with, the way I'm teaching them is not the way they were intended to be taught. Y'all don't hear me try. I'm trying to teach this thing now. Ooh, help me, Holy Ghost. I'm trying to teach it. Watch this. Then you got theologically suspect material in the literature rack. You bringing in books that are in direct contradiction of the Word of God. Talking about this is our book of the month. And it's in direct contradiction of the Word of God. Music lyrics that promote bad theology. Can I help somebody? Long as I got King Jesus, long as I, you know that song. Bad theology. And then the biggest one, poor exegesis of biblical text. That means taking what the word says completely out of the context in which it was written. Y'all don't hear me. Completely out of the context in which it was written. Now, if that don't tell you what's going on, that's how Satan attacks the church, through false teachings. The writer closes out with this. He says, we do have hope, however, of course. In Jesus' words, he says, I will build my church and the forces of hell, or the gates of hell, will not prevail over it. Matthew 16 and 18. The enemy is viciously strategic against the church, but we need to not let him win. And the only way we can do that is to keep our word close to our hearts. Start living what you're teaching. Start living what you're preaching. Start living what you're singing. Come on. Be the example. Be the church, not the building. Be the church. If more of us became the church would be the church that God would be looking for without a spot or a wrinkle. Let's try to be the church. Let's try to be the church. Can we do this? Can we do this? My God. Look, y'all, we almost got out of here on time. Praise God in his holy temple. Praise him in his holy temple. Let's do this real quick. Let's do this real quick. Let's do this real quick. I'm going to do this real quick. Let me get this back up over here real quick. And then we're going to pray, y'all. And then we're going to pray. And then we're going to go home. Amen. That's what we're going to do. We're going to pray. And then we're going to go home. Amen. Amen. I'll wait for this to kick back in one good minute here. And then we're going to pray. And then we're going to go home. Amen. Amen. I think we got a double echo over here. All right. I think we should be good. Amen. I think we good. Right? We good? Tanya, we still good on the Blog Talk side, right? Let me know. We still good on the Blog Talk side. Right? We still good? We still good on the Blog Talk side. I want to get the prayer out. I want to make sure they get the prayer. We still good on the Blog Talk side. Just let me know. Let me know real quick if we still good on the Blog Talk side. Let me know if we still good on the Blog Talk side. I think we are, because I be hearing music, so that means we still good. All right. I think we still, yes, we are. All right. Let's pray. Let's pray. Father God, Father, I stretch my hand to thee. No other help I know. God, right now, God, we come first just to say thank you, Jesus. Yeah, we say thank you, Jesus. We said thank you, Lord. We say just thank you, God. Lord God, we just want to thank you on today. God, we just want to praise you for simply who you are. Lord God, we just want to worship you for who you are. God, we want to lift up praise because you are worthy to be praised. Lord God, we want to worship you on today. Lord God, help us increase our worship. God, help us increase our praise. God, help us to magnify your name more than we ever have or starting on today. Lord God, we thank you right now for the life of our sister, Sharissa Gregory. Lord God, you allow her to be in our lives for some 41 odd years. You allow her to be in my life, God, and for that and that alone, I said thank you, God. Thank you, God, for allowing her, for using her, God, as an example of a sacrifice of praise. Thank you, Lord, for allowing her, God, to stand as an example. Even when she didn't feel like it, God, you gave her the strength to praise you anyway. And for that, we said thank you, God. Thank you, God, for showing her, for showing us through her that we can still praise you even when we don't feel like it. We can still shout hallelujah even when we got minimal strength. We can still say thank you, Jesus, even when we got no little breath in our lungs. We can still clap our hands even when our arms are in pain. We can still stomp our feet even when we can barely walk, God. We can still stand and just give a hand wave, God, even when we don't feel like it. We thank you for that example, Jesus. All of us, we thank you, God. Glory in here. We just praise your name on today, God. We lift your name right now, God. Yeah, glory. We bless your name, God. We thank you right now. God, we ask that you would comfort this family, God. We ask that you would wrap your arms around the family on Adams, God. We ask that you would wrap your arms around the family on LeClaire right now, God. We ask that you would just touch them as only you can, God. Lift them up right now, God. Your Bible says in Psalm 24, lift up your heads, O ye gates, and be ye lifted up, ye everlasting doors, and the King of glory shall come in. Who is? Hey! All right. Who is? The King of Glory. The Lord strong and mighty. The Lord mighty in battle. Who is? Glory, glory. Jesus. We bless your name. We thank you right now, Father. We thank you for her life. We thank you for the life of her family, God. We ask that you would continue to bless her husband right now, God. 19 years they were married. 19 years, God. You allowed them, God. You blessed them for 19 years, God. And we want to thank you right now for that, Jesus. Glory, glory, glory. 19 years you blessed their marriage, God. 19 years you kept them together, God. And for that we said thank you. We bless our mother and our father right now, God. You gave them their first child, God. 41 years they were able to hold her when she needed it, God. They were able to comfort her when she needed it, God. She was able to comfort them when they needed it, God. We bless your name right now, Jesus. And for her children, God. For Ashanti. For Ania. For Brian. For Michael. We say thank you, God, right now. Bless them, God. Give them the strength to carry on. Give them the strength, God. Let them now use the example that they were given, God, to press on in spite of. We bless your name, Jesus, on today. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. All right, now, I got to go. Y'all stay blessed. Woo, Jesus. Y'all stay blessed. Look, if you got to drive through this special city, we call Chicago, do me a favor. My brothers and my sisters, keep your head on a swivel. Y'all stay blessed. TTLO. Two T's. One L. One O. With your hands lifted.